Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of God's very real presence in your life. So here's a question for you. Do you feel happy? How long has it been since you've had this level of contagious, infectious, unflappable, unstoppable happiness? Maybe your answer is all the time, and if so, God bless you. But for many of us, the answer is, well, it's been a while. I used to be happy, and then life took its toll. Those words are from my friend Max Licato's new book, How Happiness Happens. I'm so honored to welcome him back to the program. His new book we're celebrating today is How Happiness Happens, Find Lasting Joy in a World of Comparison, Disappointment, and Unmet Expectations. Max writes this. He says, regarding happiness, there's another option. It requires no credit card, monthly mortgage, or stroke of fortune. Age and ethnicity aren't even factors. Available to us is an unexpected door of joy. We're going to talk about that unexpected door of joy in just a moment. A couple of quick announcements. One is, if you listen by podcast, I hear from so many people who think Middays is a podcast show, which I love because we are a radio station, but we have such an amazing infrastructure behind the scenes, such an amazing team that turns our live show around to a podcast like within an hour or two of the show. It's absolutely quite amazing. And I hear from so many people who think this is a podcast, but I need you to know we're a live radio show that goes to podcasts. And why that matters is we give most of our books away during the live show, if not all of them. And we give books away pretty much every single day. So if you are a podcast listener, I want to say a word to you. We've got a Faith Radio app that is for free that you can live stream us from anywhere. You can download podcasts. You can catch up blog posts and articles that we post on the web. It's all right there on that free app. And others have discovered the live show, and we've got listeners from outside our network from all over the nation. I would love for you to become a live listener if that would ever work for you. Another quick announcement. Just want to thank you to all of you who made it out for our live event with Dr. Troy. We had a blast. It was fun. The air was electric. The theme of the night was the healing power of hope. But because of the room that we were in at the radio station, we had a limited number of seats, and they filled up right away. What I heard from friends was, I couldn't get in. It filled up so fast. So I want you to know we hear you, and we're making plans. And we always make plans, as Scripture says, according to the Lord. Lord willing, He'll let us do this. But at the beginning of November, we're hoping, praying for an opportunity to host a bigger event. So double the size, probably 150 of you will be able to get in. And it's going to be about the healing power of gratitude, just a way to kick off our holiday season. So be listening for more information as that comes up. We are super, super excited about it. Speaking of hope, I need you to know that our fall share is just around the corner. And that is our theme this year, is a hope and a future. It's coming out of Jeremiah 29:11, that God has a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And we all here at Faith Radio just feel like hope needs to make a comeback. You watch the news long enough, you start to feel hopeless. And we want to inspire hope because we always have reason for hope. Scripture says that. Our hope isn't a specific outcome. Our hope is in the Lord Himself. And I'm praying that as we enter into our fall share, you see it as a celebration not only of where we've been and what God has done, but a celebration of what we know by faith that God will do in us as a, you know, corporately, as a group of believers who love Him, but also in each of us individually. I'm praying that you see hope make a comeback in your personal life. So will you be praying for us as we head up to our days here in our fall share? And I pray you'll see it as a celebration of faith because, boy, the forces of evil seem to be running rampant. But the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. I'm excited about this fall share for that very reason. We're standing saying we're going to be standing up, we're going to be counted, and hope is going to make a comeback. Now, we're going to hear from Max on the other side of the break, but first let me give him a proper introduction. You know, I do a lot of author interviews and TV interviews as an author on the other side of the microphone, and I consistently get this question. All right, real quick, top of your head, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite guy or woman, gal or guy to interview? And I always say it's Max Licato. Why? Because he is one of the most humble, gracious men that I've ever met. And he's the most successful, I think they say, if you just look at sheer sales of his products and books, by a lot of any other Christian author, yet he's still one of the most humble men and gracious men I've ever met, and I just aspire to be like him. So let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get this conversation started. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so full of announcements. I have another announcement. We have 10 copies of Max Lucado books to give away, 5 copies of his brand new book, How Happiness Happens, 5 copies of his runaway best-selling children's book that's just been re-released, thanks to his publisher, in case you ever wonder. 5 of those, 5 of his new ones. So on your mark, get set, go. You got to text or email to get in on the drawing. I mean, 10 books. You've got a good chance of winning. So here's the number, 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Don't forget your mailing address, or you can email middays@myfaithradio.com. That's middays@myfaithradio.com. Now, let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get this conversation started. Max Lucado is one of the top-selling Christian authors of all time, selling over, listen to this, over 100 million copies of his books. He's a pastor, he's a husband, he's a father, and a grandfather. He's highly accomplished, deeply humble. These are my words, not his. And he's written another amazing book. It's titled How Happiness Happens, Finding Lasting Joy in a World of Comparison, Disappointment, and Unmet Expectations. It's going to be a great interview with Max Lucado. He'll be on right after the break. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Hope you're having a really great day. We're talking about a very important topic today. Are you ready? It's happiness. How long has it been since you felt just joy, the spring in your step, happy about your life, where you've just decided you love your own story? Well, it's important that you enjoy being enjoyed by God, that you love your story, and that you learn how to lift your chin to the one who knows your name and find joy and happiness in your life, because people are watching. It not only changes your perspective, it changes others as they watch you handle your life and the challenges you face every day. Talking to Max Lucado today, I'm so excited about his book. It's called How Happiness Happens, Finding Lasting Joy in a World of Comparisons, Disappointment, and Unmet Expectations. We're so honored to have him with us today. Welcome back to the show, Max. It's always my great honor to talk with you.
Oh, it's my honor. You're so kind. It's a highlight. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I wanted our friends to know who are listening. We're actually celebrating 2 books today. We'll mostly dig into the first one, but I want to mention both because Max's very generous publisher has offered us 5 copies of each. We're talking about his new release, How Happiness Happens, Finding Lasting Joy in a World of Comparison, Disappointment, and Unmet Expectations. I underline most of it. It's fantastic. And then a children's book, just in case you ever wonder. 5 copies of each. I just got to tell you, you can text or email to get in on the drawing. We're giving away 10 Max Lucado books today, 877-933-2484. So, Max, I've interviewed you enough times for you to know I love to start out by talking scripture. I'm wondering if there's just a verse you've been hanging around these days that you can share with us.
You know, we're entering into an extended series in our church about the Holy Spirit. And I've been captivated just by Acts 1:8. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth." I'd love to understand more about how the Holy Spirit brings power into our lives and what that means. And so that verse, that promise that God will bring power, has encouraged me to wait on the Spirit, to nurture a relationship with the Spirit. I mean, here are the apostles. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd heard him teach. They'd seen every miracle. They had witnessed the resurrection, and yet he still was unwilling to send them out without the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so how much more do we, you know, need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives? Wow. So I would say that's the verse that's meant a lot to me lately.
Wow, definitely worth pondering. And that's really why I ask that question every day. Thank you for that. That's fantastic. Well, looking at this book, How Happiness Happens, I'm just curious, how many years in your own life do you suppose you lived without enjoying being enjoyed by God, enjoying the kind of happiness that maybe Jesus freely offered, but you didn't know how to access it?
Wow, that's a great question. I think there have been some seasons in my life in which they allowed happiness to be sacrificed, maybe on the altar of busyness, or I did not trust the forgiveness of God, or I didn't believe in the provision of God, and I think that there, for me, I would use the word slump. I would go into a slump, maybe a trough, and that could last for weeks, maybe a couple of months. And those are hard times. I remember when my father died, I went into kind of a cloudy, gray season of life, trying to move on without him in my world. I think those moments, there are a variety of reasons that we lose happiness. Sometimes it's because of an event, a challenge, or a tragedy. Many times it's because we think that happiness is going to come if I can acquire something or if I can change something. And so understanding the source of happiness and understanding that it is God's desire that we be basically happy people, we be content people, this is really, really important in the well-being of our lives.
Very good. These kinds of findings are always of interest to me. You write, happy people enjoy higher odds of a strong marriage, lower odds of divorce, superior work performance, and they also are healthier, resulting from a bolstered immune system. I mean, there's actual research that supports our perspective, and our perspective does have something to do with our own choices, doesn't it?
Boy, it really does. And intuitively, we know this, right? We all know we're better people when we're happy. We all know that we are better spouses, or we're better in the workplace when we're happy. And we all know that we feel better physically when we're happy. But you know who else knows this? The most successful and sophisticated marketing venture in the history of the world, and that's Madison Avenue, you know, the advertising campaign. So everybody's trying to sell happiness. Now, here's what's interesting. Since we have this multi-billion-dollar advertising initiative that's coming at us from all angles, from television to smart devices to billboards, on a regular basis, I am told hundreds of times that in order for me to be happy, I either need to retire or acquire or aspire to have a different wife or more hair or a different car. It just gets maddening. It gets maddening. And when I do what those commercials or the marketing companies tell me to do and it doesn't work, then I'm disappointed. And I'll try it again, and then I'll be disappointed. And the result is this up and down, downward spiral life in which I find a little bit of happiness, but I never find a lasting happiness. Mm-hmm. And I think that takes its toll on us. And that's why what the Bible has to say about happiness is so very, very important.
I'm so glad you wrote about it. You cited a study revealing that lottery winners were no happier than recent accident victims who were consequently disabled. That just stopped
doesn't that
me in
surprise
my tracks.
Us?
Wow!
Yeah, doesn't that surprise us? We would think that if you win the lottery, then your happiness level is going to increase. The truth of the matter is, increased income does increase happiness in as much as it relieves pressure from paying bills or debt. But once you reach a certain level, increased income increased income and even in the lower income families does not really substantially increase our happiness. In other words, the millionaire and the billionaire don't have quantitatively more happiness than people in the lower income. Now we've all seen that. We've seen happy peasants and unhappy millionaires. The reason for that is because what is promised through the marketing campaigns simply does not deliver. Jesus flipped all of that on its head when he said it's really better to give than receive. If you want to find a lasting happiness, you become a person who distributes happiness, not a person who attempts to acquire happiness. And this side door of happiness, coming in through the side door instead of the front door, is the surprise that is found in the New Testament. Hopefully it's a practical surprise that will bring much happiness to people who read this book.
So good. You're right. We don't have to change jobs, change our looks, change neighborhoods, but we need to change doors. So say more about this door, because, again, it's so important that we understand we steward our perspective. What we tell ourselves even about our lives really does matter.
It really does. And that's why the Bible has so much to say about happiness. I don't really parse the word joy and happiness like some people do. I'm just thinking that people really need to have a deep-rooted sense of contentment. And when we pursue, as Scripture teaches us, the privilege of making other people happy, what we find is a boomerang effect. When I seek to encourage others, I myself am encouraged. When I seek to build other people up, then I myself find myself being built up. When I forgive other people, then I find myself discovering a level of peace and happiness that I did not know before. Duke University, for example, released 8 characteristics of happy people. Of those 8 characteristics, 4 have to do with bringing forgiveness or releasing resentments. Now, again, intuitively we know this, but now statistically we're learning that what the Bible has always said is actually true, and that is that we really find happiness by giving it away.
Boy, can you think of a time in your life, Max, when you were kind of headed towards the ditch of discouragement and you turned on a dime, where you kind of saw where you were going and thought, wait a minute here, and just turned your thoughts around and changed your perspective?
There have been some occasions, especially in church leadership, when we've had some staffing issues in which I found myself so discouraged that maybe I didn't handle a situation correctly. Perhaps we should have selected a different person for a particular job. And I would allow that to convince me that I had disqualified myself from ministry. I have a tendency to be pretty hard on myself, and more times than a person might, you might be surprised to know how many times I've had to talk myself out of that. I've had to go back and remember my identity in Christ, remember that He's sovereign, remember that He can use our good decisions and He can use our bad decisions. Remember that, as you pray, that we can serve from a place of assurance instead of a place of doubt. These are essential tools. Practicing self-talk and allowing ourselves to think helpful, healing thoughts is absolutely essential, I think, in being the kind of happy person that we want to be.
You know, I tend to be really hard on myself as well, and I just told my husband this morning a quote from your book. I said, Max also is done at a party after 30 minutes, because I'm a total introvert, and he's really much better.
That's you, huh?
Yes.
Is your husband an extrovert?
Yeah, pretty much. He's much better at navigating crowds for long periods of time, but I'm like, Max is this way, honey.
There you go.
Yeah, but it is interesting.
We have that in common.
Indeed we do. But that's another aspect of where you can lose your way when you think you should be. You know, God disperses gifts in different ways. He wires us in different ways. And I think the biggest joy stealer is that compare then despair. And that's even in your subtitle, where you think you should be more like so-and-so or you're not wired like so-and-so. But then I always go back to God. Contentment is great gain. Where if I'm walking in a holiness, God, and I'm just trying to be comfortable in my own skin and let myself be a work in progress, I just enjoy the journey so much more, you know?
And this day and age in which we live, a friend was telling me recently that he was in India at the beginning of the calendar year and was struck by the challenge that social media is the difficulties that people are having with social media. And I said, what do you mean? I wouldn't have thought. I thought here in the U.S., where the average income level is higher, that this game of we play of comparisons with Twitter and Instagram. He said, no, it's worse there because the one thing people of the population of a billion people, 900,000 have phones, and the phone is the primary source of connection with the outside world, and that now they are reminded daily, maybe hourly, of all the things they don't have. Wow. And so this issue of comparison is really taking its toll, even in countries that deal with more poverty than the United States. So it's a big issue. It's a big issue. In the book, I contend that really what we can do to deal with this sense of gloominess, this one out of three Americans who say they're not happy, the one thing we can do is begin a serious project of making other people happy. If I can just decide, okay, today is the day I'm going to make every person I talk to have a sense of, if I try to improve their world just a little bit, it's extraordinary the difference it makes. And that's why the Bible gives us these one another verses. Encourage one another, build up one another, pray for one another. The Bible is chalked with, peppered with these one another passages. I think there's 59 in all. And each one of them help us find a way to make a life better, improve the lives of those that we see. And the result is this boomerang effect that as I'm making other people happy, then I myself find happiness.
Well, you tend to others and your own healing springs speedily forth, I think it says in Isaiah. Talking to Max Licata today, his new book is fantastic. It'll just put a spring in your step. How Happiness Happens, Finding Lasting Joy in a World of Comparison, Disappointment, and Unmet Expectations. Thanks to his generous publisher, we've got 5 copies to give away and 5 copies of his children's book. I want to nab one for myself so bad, just in case you ever wonder, a re-release. I think this one has sold millions of copies. 5 copies of that as well. You can text or email to get in the drawing, 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. More with Max Licata in a moment. Thank you so much for your support of the Faith Radio Network. Thanks to generous donors like you, we are able to work towards our mission of leading people to Christ and nurturing believers in their faith through media that is Christ-centered. That means each show and feature we air points us to Jesus. And our website is filled with wonderful articles and resources that will equip and encourage you in your faith. Find out more online at myfaithradio.com. Welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Honored to have our guest, Max Licata, with us today. We've got 2 books we're celebrating, mostly digging from the content of his book, How Happiness Happens. But we're also celebrating the release of his beautiful children's book. It's a re-release, just in case you ever wonder. We've got 10 Max Licata books to give away today. You know the drill, I think, but let me just give you the number in case. Text 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. So let's look at this. I think you mentioned before the break something like 50, 59 one another's. You've compiled them down to 10 statements. Let's talk about some of these because they don't cost us any money, really. And they really, we can be joy dispensers if we do what the Bible says here. So the first one is encourage one another. Say a word if you would.
Well, that's the one that I think is so empowering. When I set out to find something good in somebody and call it forth, what I'm doing then is encouraging them. One of the statistics that struck me the most is that homes that are healthy are characterized by five times as many words of encouragement as discouragement. The same is true in businesses. In businesses where the culture has created a culture of encouragement, of applause and recognition, those businesses succeed. But even the one statistic that I think surprised me the most has to do with sports. If you want to make sure that the kid who is about to go up to bat strikes out, then you just tell him something negative. But if you want to increase the odds that he or she will get on base, encourage them, because encouragement literally widens our peripheral vision. It gives us a greater ability to see from side to side, so it has a physical impact on us. And so all of these are reasons that encouragement matters. The Scripture encourages us, if you'll excuse me, to encourage one another. And don't you love it when you see somebody coming who's a great encourager? When somebody looks at you in the face, looks at you in the eyes, and they shake your hand, or they tell you something specific, say, you really did a great job on this today. It's astounding the difference that a word of encouragement can make.
You got a friend who texts you Mighty Max. I want a friend who calls me Mighty Max.
Isn't that great?
It's amazing.
There's a guy in Houston, a pastor there, and he had asked me to come over and preach at his church, and we really hit it off, and we're both about the same age. He said, do you do text messages? You know, when you're in your 60s, you got to ask somebody because you don't know for sure. But this has been several years, but it was. So he did make sure. And so he said, now when I text you, I want you to realize that you're not going to be Max. You're going to be Mighty Max. And I love that. And I get excited when he text messages me, because it's always something positive. And the truth of the matter is, there's a discouragement conspiracy afoot. It's just out there. And in order for a company to sell me something, they've got to convince me that I need it. And to convince me that I need it, they've got to discourage me. And so we can counterbalance that by bringing words of encouragement. Here's a practical step. Call somebody up. Just try this. Call somebody up and say, I don't want to take much of your time. Can you give me 60 seconds to tell you what a great person you are? And then just let it go. I mean, wow. A fire hose, a Niagara. I love the way that you show up to work on time. I love the way that you always have a spring to your step. Boy, when you spoke up in that meeting the other day, you really helped us. And I just want to tell you, you're a great person, it's an honor to know you, and I hope you have a great day. That takes maybe 30 seconds even, and you have literally lifted someone's spirit, and you know what? You've had a lot of fun in doing so.
So good. Another way I like to do that is through audio texts, just sending it by audio, and they get it, and they can listen to it as many times as they want. So,
Great point.
Well, let's talk about this one, bear with one another. I'm going to be honest with you, Max. I have a hater right now who's pelting me with hateful emails, and it's like it's causing me some anxiety. I mean, she's been following me and hating me for about 7 years, but it's kind of picked up pace, and it's getting to me. And when I read this, what you wrote about Jesus, I loved it. You said Jesus was accused of much, but he was never, ever described as a grump, a sourpuss, or self-centered jerk. People didn't groan when he appeared. They didn't duck for cover when he entered the room. I love this. He called them by name, listened to their stories, answered their questions, visited their sick relatives, and helped their sick friends. I think that's such a big statement, Max, because he's, you know, when you feel conflict, you feel the anxiety in your gut, like I'm kind of feeling right now. But then he still had kindness in his eyes and still entered into the suffering of others, even though he'd been stabbed in the back over and over again.
It's not to say it's easy, though, right? I mean, I appreciate that passage from the Apostle Paul's pen where he says that bear with one another. It kind of means put up with one another, or tolerate one another, or endure one another. You know, there's some people we see them and we're so happy to see them. Other people we see them and we want to, you know, step into a different hallway because they're a challenge. And so I think what the apostle's saying here is that you don't have to have happy feelings about every person, but you simply simply choose to surrender the to surrender that person into the hands of God. There's always going to be people who wear on us, but don't let them take your joy. In the book, I talk about how if our joy came to us in the form of ping pong balls, and what if every day we were given, you know, a bottle of a big bowl of ping pong balls. And these people are joy suckers. They come into our lives, and they start grabbing our ping pong balls, and we look up by the end of the day, and our bowl is empty. How can we keep that from happening? And I think what Paul is saying here is just bear with them. Don't assume that you have to be excited to see them, that you have to have happy feelings when you see them. But you might be willing or might be open to the idea of just shifting your attitude just a little bit, and you'll find that they can't take the ping pong ball if you don't let them do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know it sounds cliche, but it is true. Hurt people hurt people. And, yeah. You know, there's always brokenness behind a mean person. You know, there's always a broken heart somehow. We're going to pause here. Yeah, when we come back, I want you to talk about regarding and preferring another is more important than you. And if it's okay with you, I'm just saying it. We're in radio, so I'll let you decide. But we share the same publicist, and our publicist told me a story about you that inspired me so much. So I think I'm just going to share it anyway. It'll make you blush a little bit, Max, but it's a good, in the best way possible, because it's such a compliment to you. But I'm talking to Max Lucado. His book, How Happiness Happens, Find Lasting Joy in a World of Comparison, Disappointment, and Unmet Expectations. Again, we've got 5 copies of that book and 5 copies of his re-released children's book, Runaway Bestseller, just in case you ever wonder. Don't go away. More with Max Lucado in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. Welcome to Middays. So honored and always grateful when I get to talk with Max Lucado. We're celebrating his book, How Happiness Happens. And we're talking about these 10, the list of 10 from Scripture, one another's, that you compiled out of quite a few that are in Scripture. We're talking about regarding one another is more important. And our publicist that we share, they did my publicity campaign for my last book. I was riding in the car with one of them, and they were saying how humble and dear you are. We share our affection for you, Max. And she was saying how you were flown out to New York for a major media appearance. I think you were backstage, if I remember right, but you at least were in the city. And then a political figure came in, and some upheaval happened politically. And you were bumped for, I think, Colin Powell or somebody. And she said, you were just as gracious and humble as could possibly be. And it's just not the case for lots and lots of people. But I think you don't have an instinctive reaction like that overnight. I think you cultivate humility like that over time. You know, I want this, and I hope I didn't make you feel too uncomfortable, but talk about the whole idea of preferring others ahead of yourself.
Yeah, you know, I do remember that. Yeah, because we had traveled all the way to New York to do a Fox interview, and we're so excited about it. But yeah, that's just part of life, right? I think one of the advantages of being a pastor is that I do get to see so many people who struggle with issues and challenges that are so far more severe than anything that I ever face. You know, we've got people in our church, God bless them, who live with chronic pain, arthritis, battling cancer. One girl, she's only 15, and she has to, you know, she has oxygen, she's got a port, but she's got such a sweet spirit about her. So it's a blessing. And when I have inconveniences that come in my life, I can immediately think of all these people who really struggle, who really have challenges, and it's much easier to put things in perspective. You know, we've really got to learn to be grateful, don't we, Susie?
Yeah.
Gratitude is such a precious, precious commodity today. And if we spend our time thinking about all the things we don't have or have lost, then we're not going to be happy people. But the quickest way to deal with anxiety and fear and unhappiness is to make a list of blessings. It really is.
So true. And I just noticed for me over the years when I've been snubbed or kind of, you know, something like that has happened where it, you know, whatever, it's humbling. I just, God affirmed to me again and again, He doesn't ever humiliate His children. He allows us to be humbled. But humility is the equity of the kingdom. I feel like I'm so much better for the things that I've had to walk through where I've had to just step aside and be gracious. And I think that's great practice for any of us, especially in a world of entitlement where we want what we want when we want it. What if we started to learn to prefer one another and we're more gracious, you know?
Remember that in this, that comment or that instruction from Jesus that was so surprising yet so practical. He said, when you go into a dinner, take the lesser seat.
Yeah.
Take the lesser seat. In other words, don't expect to have valet parking. Don't expect to be treated to something special. Don't expect to be, you know, walked in on a red carpet. And then he says, and then if you get bumped up, great. If you get moved up into first class, you know, enjoy it. But in other words, he's saying just lower your expectations. Don't assume that you have to be the center of attention. Now, somebody once said that in every party, every gathering, I know you and I don't like to go to parties, but still, in every party, there's two kinds of people. Some people are there saying, I'm so glad you get to see me. And then there are those who are saying, I'm so glad I get to see you.
That's right.
Be the latter. Be the latter. Mm. And you know what? That's even for a guy like me, I'm not a big party. I don't really like parties. My wife loves them. So I end up at them more than I typically would. That little shift of mentality makes a party fun. If I go there and I say, okay, I'm gonna find, you know, five people tonight and have an honest, heartfelt conversation, learn something about them. What happens is I get my mind off myself. I get my mind out of my little world. And I enter into the great world of what God's doing in other people's lives. It's a huge world we live in. And so just little decisions like that, counting other people better than ourselves, is the quickest way to blow the gray out of the sky and enjoy a blue sky.
So good. All of these one another's, encourage one another, bear one another, bear with one another. I mean, this is to me how the kingdom comes to earth, because Jesus lived, you know, among us as one of us, but in the most countercultural way. It's like our bent is to be so self-focused. What's in it for me? Glad you get to see me.
Yeah.
But to turn it around and be, you know, a joy dispenser, to be looking at who can we meet? Who can we love? Who can we, you know, pay attention to? It's being Christ-like. I mean, I think people can think it sounds so cliche, but I think it's very spiritual to do that, to show up and say, who needs what God's entrusted to me?
It's really human interaction 101. If we could go to a, you know, heaven's version of a Dale Carnegie course, you know, and learn to interact with people, this would be it. This would be these 101 passages. Build one another up, encourage one another, pray for one another. It really is better to give than receive. And the quickest way to find happiness is to give it away.
Very good. You've got a chapter titled, Don't Pet the Peeves. That's a good one. Talk about that one.
Well, again, why should I let irritations, little, you know, things that bug me, why should I let them take my joy? We all have pet peeves, but we don't have to let those pet peeves take our joy. In the book, I tell the story. I thought it was kind of funny. A special lady in our church, but for some reason, she doesn't like beards. I don't know what her deal is with beards. And I've only had a beard for a short time, and it was actually during the preaching of the sermon series that became this book that I had a beard. And she would wait in line in after service instead of, you know, in our greeting line to shake hands with the pastor. She would make it a point to come and tell me that she hoped I would shave my beard. And my hair follicles left her harried. I don't know what it was. And about the time she was having trouble with my facial hair, I was working on this sermon about pet peeves and how they take our joy. And I thought of her. I thought, now why is she letting my appearance steal her joy? But then I realized I do the same thing. I do the same thing. And we are the ones who pay the price when that happens. So just determine, I'm not going to let it happen. Not going to let it happen. I'm not going to let anybody. My joy is so precious that I'm not going to allow anybody's behavior to steal my joy. Lower your expectations. People don't have to live in a way that makes you happy. You know, nobody owes us anything. Let's just be content in the blessings that we have and not pet these pet peeves that come our way.
That's so good, because if no one steals your joy, those who really God has appointed you to touch will be recipients of that joy. But if it's like if the well runs dry because of that one persnickety person, you know, we're not the only ones who lose. All the people we're appointed to touch lose as well, don't they?
Absolutely. And we miss opportunities, you know. We miss opportunities that God may be orchestrating for us. Now, this morning I stopped at a drive-thru in a restaurant to buy a breakfast taco on my way to the office. I do that about twice a week, and it's just right on the way, and sometimes I'm running late, whatever reason or another, I'll just buy a breakfast taco. And the guy, there's a person who's typically at the window, and he was there again today, and boy, did he have a scowl on his face. He just looked like he was really grumpy. And I began to react to his scowl by wanting to scowl myself. And I thought, wait a second, hold on, Locato. Don't let his unhappiness make you unhappy. See if you can make him happy. And so I did two things. I gave him a pretty healthy tip, and then I said, hey, Bob, I want you to know I'm thinking of you today. I mean, really. And I had good eye contact. I wasn't going to – and he tried to look away, but when he looked back, I was still looking at him. And I said, Bob, you're going to have a good day. Thank you. And his expression changed. Now, for all I know, when I drove off, he might have scowled some more. But you know what? I have a feeling it lifted his day. I know it sure did mine. It sure did mine. And that whole interaction took maybe 30 seconds.
Wow. That's so good. When you talked about Jesus' analogy where he talked about you're trying to assist somebody with the speck in their eye, you have a plank in your own. And you wrote, I love this, you said, we have eagle-eye vision when it comes to others, but can be blind as moles when we examine ourselves. Were we to be honest, brutally honest, don't we spend more time trying to fix others than we should? Don't we have more expertise on the faults of our friends than the faults of ourselves? And Max, I will say, if that's one thing that just breaks my heart on social media, is that very thing, is everybody just jumping into debates, trying to fix each other, not even realizing how they come across, you know?
Isn't that the truth? And that's an endemic, peculiar to our age. I see the tone that we take on social media, responding to controversies, and I just don't want to read it. I don't want to read it. I feel like it just. And to Christians, I say, come on, let's don't do that. Right. We can do better than that. Let your words be sugared with the kindness of the Holy Spirit. Let's treat each other with respect. Let's set the standard. And I think that in the United States, the tone, we're starting to lose any trace of civility. We're so quick to point out the where we disagree with people that we forget that we have so much in common that we can share. And so I'm hoping that we Christians can rediscover this art of respecting other people and communicating in a tone that communicates that.
I'm praying about that every single day, and we talk about it often on this show, just trying to set a different tone, because we are made for something better. And one little plaque I used to have on my desk, I don't know what happened to it, but I had it on my desk for years, and it's a proverb that says, a gracious woman retains honor. And there's something, I think a gracious man retains honor as well, but there's something about graciousness in the face of all the vitriol that just brings your honor level up when you're honoring others. It somehow, you know what I mean? It returns to you, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And so every time we can show respect for someone, we're not only honoring them, but we're creating an opportunity to influence them in a positive way.
Mm. Well, I have this prayer that I pray every morning. I slip out of bed, get on my knees, and friends from our listening audience, I've sent you the graphic if you want, and I'm happy to send it, but it just goes like this. I am second, you are first, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I am second, you are first, your will, your way, for your glory. I am second, you are first. I submit to your rule and reign in my life. Outcomes are in your hands. Mine is to delight in you, and yours is to establish me. And just to kind of set myself right from the beginning, outright at who's in charge. And I love this. You say it even better. You said, I'm not God's MVP. You are not God's VIP. We are not God's gift to humanity. He loves us and indwells in us and has great plans for us. God can use each of us, but he doesn't need any of us. We are valuable, but not indispensable. We've only got a few minutes left, but I want you to camp on that point because that's that juxtaposition of we are of such great worth, but not to the point that we run over people. You know, I mean, a person who knows their worth doesn't, their Christ-like worth doesn't do that to people. We stay humble and we stay grateful. Say more if you would.
Well, if Jesus came to serve, did not come to be served, but to serve, how much more shouldn't we take that same posture? There will always be room for servants, always. If you want to make sure that you're making a good impression at work, then take the posture of service. If you want to make sure that your family, is growing and healthy, then dads, don't expect to be served. Serve. There will always be room for servants. And Jesus came to serve. And as servants of his, may we do the same. It's when we self-promote that we get ourselves in trouble. Anytime we toot our own horn, the notes are flat. It just doesn't work. If you're doing good things, it'll get noticed. You'll get as much notoriety as you need, probably more than you deserve. But if you try to stir up notoriety for yourself, it comes across as sour and flat. It's best just to take that lower posture, that humble posture, and trust that the only person who deserves worship is the one occupying the only throne in the universe. And that's not you, not me, but it's Jesus Christ.
Amen. One last question before we wrap up here, Max. How do you pray for our nation?
I pray about the tone. I do. I pray about the tone because we see this in families. If the tone is not civil, then the problems can't be solved. And my concern is that our tone is so uncivil that we're really not discussing, trying to work towards solutions. We're just shouting at each other. And so I would pray that, Lord, grant us a spirit of peace so that we can communicate and solve some of these problems we're facing.
Well, Max, you are just a treasure to us. And I know, again, you're such a busy man. For you to give us the time that you did, we sure appreciate it. We wish you God's best.
It's always my honor, Susie. 1,000 thanks. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, you have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, I love this conversation. I hope you did too, and I hope you found some encouragement here today. A special thanks to my amazing producers, Kim and Carissa, who make every day brighter, every show better. And to you, my dear listener, thanks for tuning in. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.